Good afternoon once again, and welcome to On the Arts. I'm your host, David Lautulip. On this momentous 26th of February, 2025, momentous for me, as this will be my, using radio air quotes here, final live hosting of the show, passing the torch to a new team, among them Janae Darden as host, as I transition to semi-retirement in Palm Springs, where I'm zooming in now from my home studio. I mentioned semi-retirement, as I'll still be contributing segments to the show on occasion, and will also offer a pre-recorded monthly art special to the station beginning in April, time TBA. Given all that, it's a wonderful opportunity to not only look back on some 20 years with KALW, but to look forward and to have an open discussion on the future of the performing arts scene here in the Bay Area and on our airwaves for that matter. To do so, I've invited a stellar team to facilitate the discussion and will welcome your calls as well before the hour's out by calling in to 415-841-4134 or anytime dropping an email to me. I'm david@kalw.org. My dear colleague, Sarah Cahill, host of Revolutions Per Minute here on Sunday nights at 7, has been a brilliant collaborator at the piano with my modest abilities on the flute on more than one occasion, for which we hope to repeat in the near future. She has also graciously stepped in as guest host of On the Arts on occasion. Sarah, such a pleasure to welcome you back to On the Arts.
It's wonderful to see you, David, and hear you.
Sheho Letswalo is more of a behind-the-scenes presence here at KALW. She holds the title of Music Editorial Director and has been instrumental, pun intended, in developing our web presence, always helpful with a quick answer to a technical question as well, and has also stepped in as guest host of On the Arts. Welcome to you, Sheho.
Thank you so much, David. When you asked me to guest host the first time, I thought you were a madman, and I still think that's true.
Nonsense. I think you're going to be tapped many a time in the weeks and months ahead. You've heard Janae Darden as host of our regular Thursday segment during Morning Edition and All Things Considered, Sights and Sounds, where she spends some informal time with Bay Area artists who offer their suggestions for places to go, good food to eat, or general good times to be had. She is an award-winning journalist, author, public speaker, and proud Oakland native, and yet another guest host of this program. We are so pleased that she will be stepping into a key role on the arts, or whatever they decide to call it, as the months roll on. Hi, Janae. So much to talk about, always.
Yes. Hi, Dave. It's good to see you too as well, and hear your voice, as always.
Thanks. Also on hand, my esteemed longtime producer, Janice Lee, always paramount behind the scenes, and keeping me well-behaved, shall we say. And the man behind the curtain, working his wizardry during these tumultuous times in public radio and genuinely exciting times for KALW as we develop our new studios as part of the Warfield Building downtown, opening up a whole new era that is transforming the area into an arts hub for Bay Area arts organizations beyond the station, James Cass. James is an award-winning writer, educator, producer, and media maker, and was the founding director, executive director of Youth Speaks, a position he held for some 21 years, widely credited with helping to launch a global youth spoken word movement, working with literally tens of thousands of young people from across the country, and helping launch close to 100 programs nationwide. And we are so pleased to have him now as executive director of KALW Public Media. Welcome, James, and thank you for all that you've done already and all the future sleepless nights you may have forthcoming as you navigate the San Francisco bureaucracy in our new space.
Well, thank you, David, and it is great to see you and hear from you. And we're going to talk about the future for sure, but we're also here to praise you and to thank you for all of your incredible years of support of the arts system and the arts ecosystem here in the Bay Area and the incredible work you've done at KALW. And I do have a quick question. It's like, what's up? Everybody else gets hosted, but not me? Like, what's up?
Uh-oh. I think I've got to work on my brownie points. Well, perhaps, James, we should start with the Warfield. The ink is still wet on the agreement. For those listeners who aren't up to speed, fill us in.
Yeah, thank you. So I actually was just there before coming over here to the Burton Studios to sit with Janae Darden in person and talk to all you guys. We, alongside the Community Arts Stabilization Trust, better known as CAST, recently purchased the Warfield Building right next to the Warfield Theater. We're not taking over the Warfield Theater. That will remain the Warfield Theater. But we are going to occupy two floors of a 48,000-square-foot building right at the corner of Larkin and Market. And we're going to bring in multiple other arts, culture, and journalism media organizations, all nonprofits or most nonprofits. And we're going to create, we hope, a thriving hub of activity of people who are really committed to the Bay Area, really committed to San Francisco, and really committed to arts and culture. And it's very exciting, yeah.
You mentioned that the Warfield Theater is still its separate entity, but I imagine there's going to be a degree of cooperation as well.
There's definitely going to be a degree of cooperation. We've already talked about a couple things, including, you know, having opportunities to interview lots of the artists who will perform at the Warfield, some sort of joint programming, promotional opportunities. And when we open the doors to the building sometime in October, we're going to throw a big party, including a big concert at the Warfield. So that's all going to come. David, you will be invited, and you'll have to come up from Palm Springs to enjoy it with us. But sometime in the fall, we'll really be kicking the whole thing off.
I will definitely do that. But tell me also, will there be a separate performing space as part of the KLW studio complex?
Yeah, a lot of that's still being worked out. Like, we'll have a live on-air studio where we can have music performances like we've had here. We're also going to have a space similar to what we currently have at 220 Montgomery, although our hope is also to maintain that space for a while. We think it's really important that people can actually see journalism happening. Have a gathering space in which public media can provide a place to gather around arts and culture and civic issues and different kinds of things like that. So yes, performance spaces, event spaces, and multiple different organizations and independent creators making things happen.
Well, there's someone part of this panel that I'm hoping you will tap a resource for getting a really good grand piano in that space. Sarah Cahill, I'm sure, would welcome that.
I would love that. Yeah.
I would love it too.
Of course. Yeah. And yeah, David, I just want to say what an amazing musician you are and how I think that has given you special insight in when you've been hosting On the Arts and just sort of the insight of a real musician. And I've loved playing concerts with you and playing a concert to benefit KALW and, you know, all we've done over the years and the Louise Franc Trio and just all kinds of great music that we've played together. And I hope we can still do that when you're back visiting the Bay Area.
Oh, I'm not going to let you step away from that. That's for sure. I'm going to make some special trips. And of course, keep me in mind for projects that you're working on. I'd be thrilled to to collaborate with you once again. And ongoing, that's for sure.
I certainly want to, second that. My nickname for you is the Andre 3000 of KALW as our resident flautist. I think that's the correct term. And so I'm going to start with, that was one of my favorite David Latulippe moments was at our holiday party. James is beatboxing. David comes with the flute. If anyone's curious to know what we do when we're off air. And that, like Sarah said, that I think blew my mind open a little bit and made me understand you a little bit more, that this is someone who I can see even when we do karaoke, that you're someone who's so deeply embedded and passionate about the arts. And that certainly comes through in the way that you've hosted this show.
You're very kind, Shea. That really means a lot to me. To the more mundane of the Warfield, James, are you going to offer parking for people like Sheho and Sarah when they come by? Or?
There is parking across the street at the IKEA, but I want to ask, and there's public transportation, of course, and bike lanes. But David, I want to ask you a question specifically, since you've been so much immersed in the arts community here in the Bay Area for so long, and now that you're no longer a primary resident of the Bay Area, now that you're living down south, what are your hopes and dreams for the future of the arts ecosystem here in the Bay Area, and how should KLW best support it, you think?
Well, KLW has historically been extremely involved in the local performing arts scene. In a little while, in this hour, I want to give a shout out to my predecessor, Alan Farley, for everything he did on the arts for the station. But compared to public events, public radio, I think, holds a special place in having a kind of unfiltered, non-commercial approach to a conversation that can only be had on airwaves like this. And I think, thanks to the work of Sarah and the guests that she has on Revolutions Per Minute, the amazing lineup that happens on our Saturdays and Sundays with our music hosts from Dory Stein and Joanne Marr, Kevin, everyone there, that there's nothing like it. And we have to preserve that in order to make sure that our souls are nurtured during this difficult time. I'm sure Janae or Sheho would want to add in to something on that front for coverage.
I'll jump in. Definitely. And you put that beautifully as far as arts nurturing our soul right now, because I do think, kind of like what happened with COVID during the quarantine, arts saved people, a lot of people, helped us kind of work with what was going on, you know, process what was happening at that time. Arts is a space for comfort. Art is a space for escape, mental escape. And I think, right now, you know, people are using art and we need art. And so definitely the work that we're doing at KLW is very, very important.
Well, I've modestly jumped into the performing arts scene down here, having joined the Desert Winds Freedom Band, conducted by the very engaging Dean McDowell for many years now, and over 100 strong in number, gay and straight and welcoming and of various abilities, but some amazing music coming up with a concert in late March. And the second weekend I was here, they tapped me to help out on bass flute for a chamber music program. So it's fun to dive right into things down here. And I joined the Palm Springs Gay Men's Chorus, which presents Disney Pride at the end of April, a very challenging program, which is fully sanctioned by the Disney machine.
That's great.
It has been done at several places around the country, several choruses. Favorites from many of the classic animation features presented, even with excerpts from the features as well, presenting a daunting memorization task for me. I'm used to having the music in front of me for performances, but not so for these concerts. So I've got a lot of homework to do. Now, participation in a group such as that chorus brings up a rather topical controversy that I wanted us all to dive into that just developed down in Washington. It was the cancellation of a scheduled collaboration between the Gay Men's Chorus of Washington and the National Symphony Orchestra. It was called A Peacock Among Pigeons. And this cancellation was made before the transition of leadership. I'd like to open that up to further discussion and enlightenment, as I've not kept up on all the details of the story. Can anyone jump in here?
So a very close friend of mine and a longtime colleague who was a longtime Bay Area person has worked at the Kennedy Center for a number of years now and reported directly to Deborah Rutter and now is reporting to the new interim director. I don't know the specifics of that cancellation, but I know that cancellations have been wide and broad and particularly have been impacting LGBT plus and trans programming, but that's not it, and it's going to continue to expand out. I think, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about our nation's capital in what is self-designated as the nation's cultural space, the nation's cultural venue, to be immediately narrowing what we mean by culture and what we mean by representation of cultures. And I think that is a really critical moment for us to fight back against that and for us at KLW to take a stand and be increasingly representative the way we've always been. I mean, one of the strengths of KLW is we've always done our best to represent the Bay Area in its fullest. And I think as we continue to push that forward, that's going to be really important. And in fact, to circle back away from the Kennedy Center for a minute and go back to the Warfield, you know, part of what we're trying to do is show how arts and culture can help revitalize a city and a central corridor of a city that's been neglected for a long time. And that those of us who have been in the Bay a long time or have come from the Bay Area, who are committed to the story of the Bay Area and telling the story of the Bay Area, I think that shows up best of all in our arts and cultural programming. So to me, it's a shame what's happening at the Kennedy Center, because if we narrow what arts means, and if art only means a celebration of certain things that we, quote unquote, deem acceptable, we're missing out on the full and broad story of what this place is.
Well, in this, just from yesterday's news, we have to jump back to Washington. And this is quoting now, a San Francisco-based performing group that features volunteer musicians and performers has had an upcoming appearance at the Kennedy Center abruptly canceled. This is just from yesterday. The International Pride Orchestra was scheduled to take part in the Pride Celebration concert at the Kennedy Center on June 4th. And earlier this month, that man announced through social media that he would be appointing MAGA loyalist Rick Grenell, who was the first openly gay U.S. cabinet member, as interim executive director of the Kennedy Center. And in his post, he shouted in caps, "No more drag shows or other anti-American propaganda at the center." It's just outrageous how this is happening. And this is just, and this of course has spurred a number of cancellations, reading up of other cancellations. An Evening with Issa Rae, which was sold out, was canceled by the actor out of moral grounds that she said she believed in infringement on the values of an institution that has faithfully celebrated artists of all backgrounds through all mediums. There have been resignations from the board at Kennedy Center. Bridgerton's executive direct producer, Shona Rhimes, resigned as the center's treasurer. Singer-songwriter Ben Folds has resigned from working with the National Symphony Orchestra, where he's been artistic director. And opera singer and actor Renee Fleming also resigned from being an artistic advisor, out of respect for her colleagues. So I really am concerned as to what's going to happen down there, whether it's just going to be, you know, hail to the leader type shows that are just rah-rah America.
It's interesting, David, to read people's very thoughtful posts. I mean, artists writing like Rhiannon Giddens saying, you know, she was pulling out of her concert at Kennedy Center and scheduling it for elsewhere in Washington, D.C., because for this reason, that she doesn't want to be part of the connection to this administration, but that she says, you know, everybody has to make their own decision. And it is complicated because some people can't afford to pull out of a big concert. And there are many reasons. I mean, there's sort of reasons for both sides, but it was, I mean, her social media post was so eloquent about the reasons why she was deciding to cancel her appearance there. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I also have to say, you know, you think about the Bay Area art scene, and I think there's such a cultural shift all over. And, you know, we love the San Francisco Symphony, we love the San Francisco Opera, but these large institutions, which are having a hard time sustaining themselves, and that it's the little scrappy, small, you know, groups that come together, groups of musicians that, you know, get a space somewhere. And it's like in the 1960s, and people just putting on concerts, putting on shows, because the large institutions are just kind of unsustainable. And it reminds me of something that Robert Reich wrote a couple days ago, when he said, you know, we can't look to the Democratic Party to lead right now. We can't assume that, you know, Adam Schiff or Hakeem Jeffries is going to tell us what to do. We have to just all do it ourselves, and we have to go out on the streets, and I mean, it's like a grassroots movement. And I feel like that's also happening a little bit in the arts right now, that it's up to us to be independent, which brings us back to KALW and, you know, independent media. And there isn't Jeff Bezos looming over and saying, you know, we're going to have one point of view, like you can find other points of view on the internet if you want to, but we can only have one, subscribe to one way of looking at things, which is just so horrifying. And like, how did we get to this point? But anyway, that's another subject. But I think the arts are so interconnected to our sort of the cultural atmosphere and the political atmosphere and where we are in this moment in time.
Well, you know, I'd back up further than the 60s and the scrappy performances and the way that, you know, culture survived and flourished. I, you know, happened to hear on Sirius Radio, Martin Goldsmith's classical music program, longtime host of classical music. And he just casually mentioned that he wrote a book called The Inextinguishable Symphony a true story of music and love and Nazi Germany about his parents and grandparents. And chapter by chapter, I'm going through it and it's just giving me goosebumps. It's so prescient and it's so history repeating itself in very subtle ways that I think we all have to be aware of how these things can cascade. And I forget who it was that had mentioned, it's not so much as far as religion goes, being worried about the wrath of God and the wrath of Jesus, but the wrath of their followers and the folks that are just carrying out what they see as their will. And it's just a perversion of any sort of message.
Yeah, I think the sinister element is in the subtlety of it, but I also find, even just in my own personal practices of how to find joy in this time, the arts being kind of the place for that, as a place for resistance, because there will always be people who want to tell stories, whether it's through plays or through music or through visual art, that will always exist within people. And where I view the service of what we all do here is then platforming that and advocating for that. And in the moment that we're balancing the fact that we are going to keep people informed with the actual news that's happening, but then we're also offering this place of escape and levity and joy and connection through music and the arts. I saw this one post about during the AIDS crisis in the 80s and the 90s, how people also went out and they danced all night, and it was the voguing and the ballrooms and everything, because they said that's what you did. You went out and you danced and you released it all out there. And then so that in the morning you were energized again to care for your loved ones, to fight in the streets, to advocate for your rights. And I think that's something that, I don't know, I'm certainly holding dear, is that at the same time as we're being aware of what's happening, being able to sing a song out loud or go to a live music event and be in a room with people sharing a moment or laughing at, you know, a theater moment. Those are the little things that keep us going to face the next thing, you know, the next hit that we take.
Yeah. And I want to piggyback on what Shahel just said, because this past weekend I went to the Black Joy Parade. And I walked in it with my sorority sisters. And I think they expected like 30,000 people to attend. And I was just thinking about how, you know, there's so much chaos going on right now politically, and just to see people making space for joy. And of course, the art was the costumes of people in the parade and the music that was being played. I mean, people were out, you know, dancing in the street. And so, again, you know, making that space for joy. And I'm also too want to go back to something Sarah talked about. And I'm thinking about, you know, we're talking about the Kennedy Center, and I think we're going to see different spaces come up too as well, because I think that one of those LGBTQ performances was moved, that they're going to be performing, I think, in Maryland. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see during this time what different types of spaces come up, whether they're outside or people creating new spaces. I mean, like Wildflower is a great space in West Oakland. It's a small space, and I've heard some of the best music there. In this small space with grassroots activists and musicians planning events and mini concerts for people to go to. So
yeah, and I just think, like, when I think of the Bay Area, I moved here originally in 1989 and then settled permanently around 92-93. It was always the culture of the place that attracted me here. And when I think back historically, like, what is it about the Bay Area that's special? It's like, okay, we go back to Imogen Cunningham and Dorothy Lange and Ansel Adams and photography, and we have the Beats, and we have the Black Arts Movement, and we have Black Panthers, and we have, you know, the language poetry movement, and we have all kinds of interesting arts and culture stuff that has always happened here. The hippie movement, you know, et cetera, the feminist arts movement, all the incredible stuff that's happened here in the Bay Area. And I think the magic of this place is that those all have bubbled up organically. It's just been a collection of people identifying a moment in time and tapping into the multiple art forms, whether it's dance, whether it's music, whether it's performing arts, whether it's language arts. That, to me, is what KLW embraces and wants to embrace even more moving forward. And so, David, again, like, I just am so grateful for all the work you've done here to make sure that we, every week, spend at least an hour talking about the arts. Mm-hmm. And that's something we're more than committed to into the future, because, again, the Bay Area has obviously had its ups and downs, and specifically in the recent years. the ops are going to ride on the back of the artists, on the culture makers, on the audiences, and on the organizations that support all of that. And we, I think, need to play a really critical role in forwarding the culture of this place that we all call home.
The arts always do have that role, and we think that KLW is the place. I mentioned that earlier on in the show that we would welcome calls. If you'd like to chime in, the number is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. You can also dash me an email, david@kalw.org. I'll share the comment with the team. While I review some of those, and as we look back, Ben Trefney, who formerly had James's role for a long time and is still producing for KLW, instrumental in making things happen down at 220 Montgomery, moved me to tears by soliciting, unbeknownst to me, some radio tributes for people that couldn't come to a special in-person gathering. And one of those tributes came from Dory Stein, and I'm so grateful for Dory's friendship. Damien, if we could play Dormian's clip, and then we'll talk some more about what On the Arts has meant to people over the years.
Hey, David, it's Dory. I sure wish our phone conversation from the other day was recorded, because that would be perfect. That was very special. I was really glad we got to speak. But let's do it again, but this time unilaterally, with me just leaving these thoughts. As you know, I regard you as the epitome of professionalism, and over the years that you were at KALW, you were the voice of KALW. You not only have a truly wonderful voice, but unlike a lot of announcers with great voices who really are puppets on the air, you have a wit, a natural wit, that makes it so much more appealing and engaging, you know, for listeners. And I also want to say that although you didn't, you know, you were not a board op for me too often, when we did get a chance to hang out, I really cherished our conversations, our radio conversations. They were special. So I'm going to miss you, man. I wish you really well, lots of health, enjoy Palm Springs, and man, you'll leave a void at KLW, but a lot of great memories. All right, man, take care.
Thank you so much, Dory Stein, host of Tangents, keeping us informed and entertained and just delighted with his musical selections, and of course, keeping us up to date with his Gaza Corner segment on Saturday evenings. Thank you, Dory. Your friendship means a lot as well. I'm David LaTulip. To recap, this is my final hosting of On the Arts on a regular basis on your Wednesday at 4 p.m., going into semi-retirement, doing a kind of Dave 2.0 reboot. I'll still have a presence on KLW. They can't get rid of all those overnight messages and tags, and I'll contribute an occasional segment perhaps on the new show and a monthly art special, if we can work out some details on that. And well, it would take the rest of the hour to recall the literally hundreds of engaging interviews and conversations I've had over the years here as host of On the Arts. So maybe I'll offer a smattering at least. But first off, I really do need to give a shout out to the late, great Alan Farley, who passed away in 2017 and whose show Open Air I subsequently inherited. Alan's presence at the station, he was a gifted mathematician, by the way. He could have taught at college level in math. His knowledge and presence at the station was deep and always inspired, having hosted the very first radio show regarding the AIDS virus and epidemic and its impact on the Bay Area, with a weekly program called AIDS Update, where he interviewed some of the people at UCSF and around the country on updated treatments. He hosted a weekly book review program called Book Talk, a regular program he called My Favorite Things, modeled after the BBC-styled Desert Island Discs, the first to engage the Berkeley Symphony for regular radio broadcasts. And many, many listeners look forward to his annual Noel Coward birthday special in December, an artist he was obsessed with, to say the least, and for whom, posthumously, he wrote a collection of essays about and interviews with the master called Noel Speaks, a true inspiration to me, in addition to slogging it out as a full-time afternoon announcer here. And just once again, a public thank you to Alan Farley. I haven't been nearly as prolific or frankly eloquent. A couple of KLW folks who couldn't be with us today mentioned in their recorded send-off to me one particular guest I had on KLW, my last live in-studio guest before the pandemic, Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner, known to the world as Sting. Here's Molly Blair Salyer and Porfirio Rangel.
Hi, David. This is Molly Blair Salyer, and I have been a big fan of yours since way before I got to work or even be in the Audio Academy at KLW. And I remember my first day at Burton when we were doing our orientation. I came into Studio A, and you were there, and you said, "Hi, I'm David LaTulipe." And I said, "David LaTulipe? You're famous." So that was a thrill to hear you, see you in person and hear you on the radio. And it's very satisfying to know you. And then you helped me with my demo for the AO position. And you were so helpful and kind and supportive and offering tons of great advice and just like generally being a real, genuine, funny, compassionate, interesting person. And I've loved being in your orbit for the past year. And then just about a month ago, I had a story air and I stood in the kitchen at Burton listening to it play from the blaster that's in there with Angie Coiro, which is very exciting. And then you came out from the studio and you said, "That was a good story." And it really thrilled me to my core. And then when I left, you said, "Love you, mean it." And that also made me really, really happy. So love ya, mean it. And we're going to miss you so much. You're irreplaceable. You're just like one of the best. So love you so much. Can't believe I've gotten the privilege of working with you and can't wait to continue to know you and see where you go next. Lots and lots of love. Bye.
Hi, David. This is Dee Dee. I remember when you said to let you know if I had any questions for you ahead of your interview with Sting. I did. I know you received a lot of questions, so I was humbled when you asked mine, and when you introduced it as a question coming from one of our KALW stalwarts. Thanks, David, for confirming that I'm not crazy for thinking Sting has a thing for odd time signatures. And now I know, Sting believes the essence of good music is surprise. And if you don't surprise him in the first 8 bars, he stops listening. I don't know what your plans are for On the Arts, but I want you to know I enjoy tuning in and learning from your artist interviews. Congratulations, David, on your well-deserved retirement. I wish you the very best. Postscript. I have nothing against surprises, Sting, but I still find beauty in 4/4.
Hi, David. This is Porfirio from Sights and Sounds. And I just want to say congratulations on retiring. That's such an awesome thing. I wish you luck on your next big adventure. And I just want to say thank you so much. I really appreciate you. When I was in Audio Academy back in 2019, when you were one, like the only folks outside of the Cross Currents team that actually like talked to me and asked me how I was doing, and you know, just asked, you know, as an Audio Academy fellow, just asked what I was up to and everything. And one of my favorite memories that I always cherish is when you actually invited me if I want to sit in on the interview that you did with Sting. And that was just an awesome opportunity for me. Just starting off my radio career, I couldn't have asked for any better way to just live that moment and that experience. So thank you so much, David, again, for just, you know, I guess that encouragement and communication with me. So enjoy retirement. Can't wait to be there one day. And I wish you just all the best of luck and positive energies on your next great big adventure. Okay, bye.
Porfirio Rangel, Didi Isayama, and Molly Blair Salyer, colleagues I will miss interacting with on a regular basis as I reinvent Dave 2.0 in the desert. Retirement's kind of a strong word. I'm David LaTulipe, here with Sarah Cahill, James Cass, Janae Darden, and Sheho Latsualo. For this look forward and back to arts coverage here on KALW and the Bay Area, your calls are welcome, 415-841-4134, or send me an email. I'm david@kalw.org. Brandon Spillane sent me an email, said, I will never forget your interview with Linda Perry. Well, that's one a name I hadn't heard for a while. Thank you, Brendan, for remembering that. And, you know, having folks like Sting in the studio, or Sandra Bernhardt, Michael Feinstein, Sasha Cooke, Ben Jones, a parade of conductors like Alistair Neal, Danny Stewart, Bob Geary, Martin West, Ming Luke, Donald Runicles, various guest conductors visiting with the San Francisco Symphony, Opera, and Ballet. It's all just icing on the cake. It's all for you, dear listener. Local actors, dancers, composers, including my friend Mason Bates, friend and former neighbor Jake Heggie, Nathaniel Stuckey, legends and childhood idols like Richard Thomas, Tony Orlando, Herb Alpert, and Burt Bacharach. It's impossible to identify a favorite. I feel like a very, very lucky person.
David, for me, what came through in those messages, and you didn't bring me on here to cry, so I'm not going to do that. But apart from, yeah, just your kind of genius as a radio person, I think each of these people reflected your legitimate kindness towards them. That has come through for me in so many different ways. It was just the coolest thing to be with someone who's like so professional, so good at what they do, and also so generous with what they know about it and how you interact and share that. And I think that also comes through with the way that you interact with all of these amazing people that you've spoken to. At this point, you have no reason to be humble, but you still are. And you extend a generosity to both the people that you work with and your guests. And I hope that as we carry on our arts coverage and the different ways that we're going to do it, that's part of the David LaTulipe legacy that we bring with us, is just that this generosity extends to each other and to the people that we bring on.
You are going to make me cry now, Sheho.
I agree, because I remember even when I first came here, David, you were so welcoming to me. And that means a lot, you know, for someone who has a big voice at a station where you work at, that you're welcome to newcomers, you're welcome to fellows and interns. Now, I didn't get an invitation to sit in with Sting, but that's okay. I'm going to let that go. I'm on Perfume, who's my producer. I'm like, you got an invitation? I didn't. But you know, I let it go. It's in the past, going forward. But but yeah, and you know, definitely that's what makes KLW so unique and just such a great place to work, where you don't feel that intimidation around, you know, people who are revered and respected, you know, in higher positions here.
It's very, very kind, very kind. And I think it's so important just to create this sense of community and family that I think is unique to KLW and unlike other stations, certainly commercial stations and certainly larger stations as well, where we have that chance to be family. Thank you so much, Janae. I really appreciate that. Well, my former producer, Neil Swinkles, chimed in via a text saying that Sting was the last person that he booked for me before he moved on, and he couldn't make the show because he had to be out of town. So thanks again to Neil Swinkles for producing the show back when it was called Open Air, and as we transition to On the Arts. And again, thanks to the continuing work of Janice Lee. Well, another voice from the past zoomed in. I'm so thrilled to welcome to the airwaves now our former chief engineer of KALW, Phil Hartman, also now in a sunnier clime than San Francisco in his golden years, shall we say. Phil, how the heck are you? He's muted. Maybe he stepped away from his phone. Let's hope he gets back to it for me. But Elaine Lung wanted to say hello as well via Zoom. All right. Well, we have Thomas on the line, apparently. Let's hear Thomas while we wait to get these Zooming folks back in. Hey, Thomas.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, it's a very troubled time. You all know that. And I'm just listening to the radio, and there's so much love going back and forth around on the radio station with all of you people that I am in heaven.
That's great.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you so much. Well, there's a word my people have for the way people are describing David, and that's David's a mensch. So it's always good to have mensch energy. Mensch energy makes everything great. Good.
Thank you.
Thomas, are you an actor in Berkeley?
Yes, Thomas Lynch. I'm in the Elmwood, so I know
Thomas Lynch, and yes, you were at the I saw you in King Lear at the Berkeley Repertory Theater when it was on College Avenue, like a long time ago. Weren't you in King Lear?
Oh, yeah. Wow, look at this.
I was in King Lear. I was the fool.
Yes, you were so great.
Don't make me start singing.
Well, I'm glad I called because now it's all coming. Gee, my gosh, thank you so much. But anyway, I always followed your career.
Thomas, I have to ask, what kind of fool were you?
Yes, that's
such a great good one.
And yeah,
anyway,
David,
your love test is just great. And thank you.
Thank you,
Thomas. We do have Phil Hartman on the line zooming in. Phil, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm here in Florida, where it's hot down here. Anyway, they tell me it's hot in Palm Springs too.
A little warm. I'm dealing with it just fine, thank you.
Hey, it is 70 degrees in San Francisco today, so.
Yeah. All right. So David, I've always admired how, you know, the way you valued artists and gave them a voice, a little window into their work, you know, which is, it's not that easy to find, you know, and KALW is always forward that way, always tried to, you know, let people know what was going on in the, you know, all kinds of artistic areas. But anyway, I just always admired your professionalism and how you sometimes there were some moments at the station where it was awesome how you kept it together, you know, on the air. And I enjoy your retirement. It's good. I highly recommend it.
Well, I know we pulled you out to help us with some advice on the new Warfield space. So chances are you're going to be coming to visit again soon here up north.
And oh, boy.
North and west.
Oh, the space, it has a lot of potential. And I feel bad that I'm not going to be there to work on it and to see it, you know, develop. But, you know, others will handle it. And, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with the space.
We'll give you a beam. Phil, we'll give you a beam. We'll call it a Phil Hartman beam.
Okay.
Somewhere in the eighth or ninth floor, you'll have a beam, I promise.
Yeah, okay.
And tell you what, Phil, we'll do a house swap. I'll give you a couple of days in Palm Springs. I'll take a couple in Florida.
All right. That's I have a pool.
I'm 100 steps away from the hot tub, so we got each other covered.
All right.
You get a free pickleball lesson out of it too. So.
Okay. Well, enjoy, and it's wonderful to hear you know, people who appreciate you, and I hope you do more things somewhere somehow.
Thanks. You're very kind, and love to you and your family as you enjoy Florida.
Okay.
Elaine Loing, one of our fellow announcers, is in a loud environment, but wanted to say hello.
Hi, David. I'm here with Auntie Joanna. We wanted to wish you happy retirement.
And congratulations.
Thanks. Very kind of you to take the time.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, David. You were so welcoming when I first came on board last year. When I first met you, you immediately gave me a hug, and it was just so welcoming. I never got to thank you for that. And aww, thank you for the fabulous training and putting up with my millions of questions. I very much appreciate you.
Well, here's a Zoom
thank
hug.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elaine.
Two great stars.
Sweet. Thanks so much.
One past and one present.
Well, I'm getting these brownie points with James. I think he's going to have to appoint me ambassador, KLW ambassador or something, or hugger in chief.
Well, we have talked about, David has mentioned it a couple of times, but we have talked about David creating an hour-long special that will begin airing sometime in the spring. So it's not the end of David. I know he keeps stressing. We keep saying retirement. He keeps saying semi-retirement. So I think we should respect what he's calling it. So this is a semi-retirement celebration of David LaTalib.
It's an evolving conversation, shall we say. How's that?
I just want to say,
joining us still. Yep. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, just that I think Phil Hartman said something really important, which was that, you know, local choreographers and playwrights and composers don't, and artists don't get a chance very often to talk about their work in depth and for us to really understand what they do. And it's great to have sort of more national and international big figures on, but the way you shine a spotlight on Bay Area artists is so important. And I mean, there are unsung heroes, and they don't get a chance very often to really, you know, go in depth the way you do on the arts.
It's a pleasure. It really is a labor of love. And as you mentioned, dance, I mean, more than one dance promoter has expressed their exasperation with getting coverage on the radio. You'd think, dance and radio, how is that going to work? They're wonderful conversations. And it really gives us great insight into a whole different world of art that you don't necessarily have to see. You need to talk to the individual. You need to talk to the creative mind behind the art that's being created.
You do it well.
Thanks, Sheho. I'm wondering, Damian DeMiter has been, you know, behind the scenes at KLW running the board for us today. And he, every time I talk to him, he wants me to come back to the studio. But I'm wondering if he has a couple of thoughts he wanted to share on the arts online and on the airwaves with us.
Yeah, I'll share some. I'll speak my piece. When I first got here, I remember Bill Helgeson had assigned me to you, to train me. And I was like, okay. And, it was just listening to the station and listening to you in some time before, it was just like, oh man, this guy is definitely great. And I would often say that you were one of the main voices that I can say that was the state, or that is the station. So it was great to watch you, and as far as your announcing and things like that. And so, you know, I really enjoyed how you were able to take on what Alan Farley left behind, and you were able to step into those shoes and just come in and just take the reins and take it to where it is now. So, and Alan Farley was obviously an institution and a one of its kind and things like that. So just to be able to work with you, it's been amazing. And then I think you and I got really tight. And in my beginnings here, you know, I had my I was figuring it out, trying to learn my way and just trying to find my voice. And it took a couple of years. And I remember that there was a caller, and he called in. He said, and this was during the pandemic, and I believe you and Joanne were actually you two had stepped away. And so a guy said that, wow, he said that you have arrived. He said, you stepping in and stepping in for David and doing his day parts, you definitely have come into your own. So I just want to say to you, thanks for all that you've have shown me and just in being here as an announcer. It's great. Your professionalism on the air is definitely superb. So we will definitely keep your spirit and your presence going.
David, I know we're looking at just the last couple of minutes of the show, and I'm sitting here with Janae, and as you know, you mentioned earlier, Janae will be taking over this hour in a couple of weeks. What, you know, you've been so embedded in the arts community here, and you've been so committed to this work, and as we've said, you're not leaving, but you're going to transition from this hour. What advice could you give Janae, or what advice would you like to give Janae as she moves forward and assumes the role of an hourly, weekly arts program?
Well, I think it's the main thing that I learned from Alan Farley and from Sarah Cahill and the greats that I've listened to growing up in public radio is not having a list of questions you want to ask. It's using your ears, listening to what an artist, what anyone has to say, and remembering that it doesn't have to be the next question. It has to be listening to what a person said. It could, and then you could talk about what they had for lunch. And it's still getting an insight into the person rather than what they're doing tomorrow night at 8 at Davies Symphony Hall or at the Warfield. Mm-hmm. It's getting people to know people as people and not just as artists with a star on their door.
Yeah, that's great advice. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I seem to be getting, I have a reputation as a hugger too. Davey, why don't you play that last cut from Edwin?
Yeah, I just want to say too, also too, and I forgot to mention this in my saying, you and I are birthday twins.
Hey.
That's right.
So, so actually, there's three people at the station here. It's Fancy, and who comes in, and then it's you and I. All three of us are Capricorn. So, yeah, just wanted to say that my birthday twin, the Capricorn guy. All right, we're gonna go to Edwin here and his sayings.
David, it's Edwin Okongo, and I've just learned that you are retiring. It's been a pleasure working with you. Thank you for the hugs. I think you're the only person that every time I saw you, I got a hug. And I wish you the best. I'm going to miss those hugs.
That's On the Arts for this week. My thanks to Sarah Cahill, as always, a future and present and always to be collaborator. Sheho Letswallow for all her incredible work. Janae Darden, as she continues the work on the arts and on the arts in general for KALW. Damian D. Minor for running the board. Phil Hartman for chiming in. My longtime esteemed producer, Janice Lee, and once again, a shout out to musicologist Niels Swinkels, who had her role before that, providing all very necessary behind-the-scenes preparation for so many shows. My thanks to you all as well for listening. You're not going to get rid of me that quick. David Latuli, thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, David.
Thank you so much, David.
Obsessed with you.
On the Arts, theme music was by Paul Drescher. My thanks to Paul Drescher as well. This is KALW, San Francisco Bay Area, where our arts coverage continues with the BBC News Hour.